Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and it's time for our weekly segment where we speak to BBC journalists about the international stories they're tracking in the week ahead. We're joined today by senior broadcast journalist Audrey Tinline from BBC HQ in London. I guess it's good morning for you over there, Audrey.
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time. So, of course, the big week has finally arrived, the United States presidential elections on Tuesday this week, though in some parts of the country, more people have already voted than turned out for the last presidential election in 2016. You've been keeping a close eye on the election, Audrey. Why so many people voting early?
Yeah, well, a lot of this was put down to vote by post. But then what we've seen more recently in the last few days or so is that there have been long lines outside the actual polling stations as well. So people have been turning up to vote early in very large numbers. This actually goes back a little bit. I mean, the number of people who voted early in the 2016 presidential election, for example, was more than five times the number who voted early 24 years earlier. So this number has been going up and up, but this time it's really unprecedented. More than 90 million people have voted early in the U.S. elections so far, and 55 million of those by post. So that sets the country on course for its biggest voter turnout in over a century if this continues through Election Day.
You think it's just because of the pandemic that this is happening?
Well, the observers of the election in the US are not just putting this down to the pandemic now. They're putting this down to the sort of polarized nature of the debate there and the fact that, you know, both sides have been calling on their voters to get out there and to make sure that they do turn out because, of course, what people say they're going to do and what they finally do on election day, there can often be quite a big difference. So both sides are, you know, extremely keen to get their voters out. So I think it's been put down to quite a lot of that as well.
Mm. And the whole process of early voting, though, postal voting as well, has proved very contentious. Why is that?
Yeah, Donald Trump himself has called into question whether postal voting or might be absentee voting in general might be open to fraud. And that has led to academics and others who know about these things to come out and say that the incidence of voting fraud overall in the U.S. is extremely low. A study which has been quoted by the Brennan Center for Justice, they did this study in 2017, and they found that around about 0.0004%, that's a tiny percentage of 1%, who actually were open to voting fraud. So in previous elections, you know, there hasn't been widespread voting fraud. Obviously, there have been some cases of it, but it's not likely that it's likely to be widespread this time. That's what the experts say.
But that's the symbol President Trump wants to bang, isn't it? And there are a number of lawsuits underway already.
Yeah, that's right. There are many lawsuits underway across 44 states. More than 300 lawsuits, smaller ones often have been taken concerning how absentee votes are counted, who's allowed to vote early, how the mail-in ballots are collected. And Texas is a state which is being very much looked at. It's closely fought. A federal judge in Texas will be holding a hearing on Monday on whether Houston officials illegally allowed drive-through voting to take place. This voting has already happened in some parts of Texas, and they would like to see those votes thrown out. This is in a Democratic-leaning area. It's unlikely they will be thrown out because part of this case has already been rejected, but it's still going through the court, and that's just a day before the election.
Switching gears, let's talk about the coronavirus over in Europe. The World Health Organization is pointing to Europe as now being the epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic. What steps are governments there taking? We hear there's protesting in Spain. The caseload, though, has doubled in 5 weeks in Europe. Germany's calling it lockdown light. What do we know, Audrey?
Yeah, there are a number of new lockdowns and new restrictions which have been announced, not least, of course, here in the UK, where rather sort of hastily over the weekend, the government convened a press conference. Boris Johnson appeared to talk to the nation, and we have all now found that we're going to be subject to another lockdown, more restrictions coming into force later this week. they're a bit different, as in many countries in Europe, from what happened in March and in April, where nearly everything stopped. This time, as we were just hearing on your station, retailers will be hit because what's deemed non-essential shops will have to close. Bars and restaurants have to close except for takeaways. So while many of us are still being told that we can go to work, a lot of these hospitality industries, and the UK depends very much on the service sector, a lot of these will be severely restricted or closed altogether. Similar things are happening in France. Germany is reimposing restrictions, and Italy, where you know, we saw the very worst of the coronavirus earlier this year, they're talking there about having to reimpose restrictions if they can't get cases under control because they're concerned that their hospitals could be overwhelmed.
We're also hearing just from your colleagues that it's been reported that Prince William had contracted COVID-19 earlier this year. What's been the response to hearing that news?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were really surprised to hear that. This news was not reported at the time. It was reported that Prince Charles, Prince William's father, and Prince Charles is the heir to the throne, next in line after the Queen, he had coronavirus, and that was reported. But we didn't hear anything about the wider royal family. So this came out in the newspapers here, and it has been confirmed by those sources close to Prince William that yes, he did test positive for coronavirus. And so people are really surprised to hear that, because that could well have meant that two of the people closest in line to the throne were out of action, so to speak, at the same time. So, you know, there's concern when people hear that, but also I think probably sympathy, because so many people were touched by this and suffered, and a great deal of them bounced back afterwards. But of course, we had those mounting deaths at that time as well. So I think there would have been quite a great deal of concern if it had been known at that time.
And finally, the oil exploration country Norway is facing a court case this week. Environmentalists are taking the government to court in an effort to stop drilling in the Arctic Circle. What's behind this case, Audrey?
Yeah, this is a very interesting case because it's been going on for some time. Not surprisingly, environmental groups want to see countries stopping drilling for oil. Now, Norway is, you know, Western Europe's biggest oil producer, but it doesn't use that oil itself for its own energy needs. By and large, most of its electricity comes from renewables, hydroelectricity from, you know, their water and their fields and their mountains. They export their oil. And this case is centering on the fact that the environmental groups say that by exporting this oil, Norway's still causing emissions. It's just causing them in other countries, and that needs to be taken into account. Now, they've tried this before. They've been through the lower courts, which found in favour of the government, said the government could allow very limited, it must be said, limited drilling in the Arctic Circle. But now the environmental groups have managed to get the Supreme Court to listen to them again, and the arguments are listed in the Supreme Court to be gone through again this week if all of that goes ahead. And we could hear exactly why Greenpeace and other groups want Norway to stop drilling in the Arctic Circle altogether. The government there has said it's limited, it's careful, Norway's emissions are low, so they are minded to allow these concessions to be given to oil companies.
How convenient, exporting the oil and the guilt at the same time. Audrey, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks very much.
Audrey Tinline, senior broadcast journalist at the BBC. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.